Okay, hands up if you went to volleyball for second sport. Show of hands. Hands up if you went to frisbee. Hands up if you went to rounders. Great, okay, so I wonder how you made that decision. Was it because your friends went there? Was it because you really love the sport? Was it because you want to get better at it? I wonder how you made that decision. We're going to be thinking a little bit about choices today, okay? What I'd love you to do as you get your packs out is turn to the person next to you, and I'd like you to start. You're going to have 60 seconds. Don't do it yet. Okay, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I'd like you to count the number of decisions you think you make in one full day from the moment your alarm clock goes off, okay? So right from the moment you decide whether to hit snooze or get out of bed, go. People shout out, how many decisions roughly do you think you make on an average day? 3,000. Does someone count to 3,000 in that 60 seconds? It's pretty impressive. So some researchers would say that we make up to 35,000 decisions on an average day, okay? It's a lot of decisions, right? 226 based on food alone. And then when you think of everything else, just even imagine going to your sport. So I went to play netball with some of the first sport netball girls and with trainees this morning. And I was even thinking about the decisions I was making. When to shout, when to run, when to pass, whether to shoot or to pass. The referee, think about the decisions the umpire is having to make. So many decisions. And I wonder how you go about making your decisions. What do you base them on? What do you look to for these decisions in life? How do you choose your friends? How do you choose which club to play for? Maybe for the older ones, how are you going about choosing your subjects? Where to go for university? What to do after school? And some of these are quite nice decisions to have, right? But there will be some decisions in your life that are much harder to make, that they're really tough, and actually sometimes they're really painful, and maybe the consequences are much greater. A few years ago, my grandfather passed away, and in the final stages of his life, he was unable to make decisions for himself. And so my dad had to make his decisions for him. And now my dad's a doctor, so he was thinking in a medical way, what's best for my father? He was thinking as a son, he was thinking as a brother. How do you make those decisions? Some of them are really tough in life. And I wonder how you go about doing that. Well, this evening we're going to be thinking about one decision that every single person in this room will have to make. And the consequences are the greatest of any decision that you will ever have to make. So we're going to have a read before we go any further, okay? So if you can open your Matthew's Gospels with me to page 15, okay? Page 15 in this book. And there's a little paragraph in the middle, and it's titled The Narrow and Wide Gates. I'm going to read those two verses there. So if you can follow along with me, or some of you got booklets, that's great as well. Okay, this is what Jesus says in these verses. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, Jesus gives us options. Two gates, two roads, two destinations. And a little while later, just a few verses on, he gives us a bit of an illustration, an image, to help us make this decision. So if you flick over the page, page 16, right at the top of the page, it says the wise and foolish builders. So we're going to read those verses now as well. And this is Jesus speaking to a large crowd, okay? This is Jesus speaking. And he says, therefore, Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. See, in our verses this evening, Jesus gives us a decision to make, but he gives us a warning first. So we have a warning and we have a calling. Now, like I said, he's speaking to a large crowd and he's around the Sea of Galilee. And now people in this area would know that when building a house, you had to dig really far down below the kind of hard sand, soft sand, hard sand to hit the rock to build your house on a really firm foundation. Because if you built it on the hard sand, it might be okay at first. In fact, it might even look the same as the house built on the rock. They could look identical, these two foundations, and we don't know what they're built on underneath. But in reality, when the waves come or when the sea comes into the shore, it's going to erode away that sand really quickly, and that house built on the sand is going to fall with a great crash. And Jesus is saying that can be a bit like life. The things that we want to build our lives on, the things that we base our decisions on, like we were just speaking about, they can look really good at first. They can actually look quite firm at first. They can look like solid things to build our lives on. And I wonder what that is for you. I asked you at the start how you chose second sport. Was it because your friends were going? Was it because it was your favorite sport? So I wonder if you're someone who bases a lot of your decisions and builds your life on your relationships. Okay, so family, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, partners. Are those people that you really look to for your affirmation? Is your time dictated by who's going to be at certain events? Do you really want to be at certain parties because they're there? Do you want to play for a certain team because of the people who are going to be there? Do you only feel secure when you're with certain people? Do you think that, oh, well, if only I found the right partner, then all of my problems, they would just seem much smaller and much more manageable when I found that? Do you build your life on these relationships? Or for you, is it achievements, sporting achievements, academic achievements? Are you willing to do anything to win, to get to your goal, to get to the pinnacle of your sport? Are you willing to sacrifice those good relationships, to sacrifice your integrity to win? Or is it maybe about your image for you, about money? Are you worried that people won't like you if you don't have the latest AirPods or iPhone or Air Forces? See, all these things are good things. Dave's been speaking to us in the morning. He's spoken about our relationships, the good relationships that God gives us, our talents, our sporting abilities that God gives us to use for him. Not bad things. God is saying they're not designed for our whole lives to be based on them. They're like sand. They'll crumble when the storms come. And like Matthew, like Jesus says, the storms come to both houses. The storms come to everyone. And those storms could be big or they could be small. And look, I have no idea what your life has been like for the last couple of years, but boy, I know it hasn't been normal with COVID. There might be some of you who have actually faced some really pretty big storms in your life. Things like illness, injury. There might be some of you in the room who have had to deal with death over the last couple of years. Hey, these are huge storms and they change the course of your life forever. But there are smaller storms as well. Relationship breakdown. Have you ever been let down by family or friends? Have you been hit by injury? Have you been dropped from the squad? Has a ref made a bad decision in a game? You see, these good things that we have, they're never going to live up to the standard that we want them to. We will be disappointed. Storms will come. There's going to be an image come on the screen, and just shout out if you think you know who this is. Say it louder. Tom Brady, amazing. Now, I don't know if you know much about Tom Brady. Some of you in the room might not, but let me tell you a little bit about him. He's been described as the greatest of all time in American football, maybe even in American sport. He was actually the backup quarterback in his high school football team for the first season. He wasn't selected until the sixth round of the 2000 NFL draft, but he listened to his records since then in the last 22 years. He holds almost every major quarterback record. So here we go. Most career quarterback wins, most career passing attempts, most career completions, most career passing touchdowns, most career passing yards, most pass completion in a season. He's the oldest ever MVP in the NFL. He's won the Super Bowl 7 times. He's been the MVP of the Super Bowl 5 times, and he's been the regular season MVP 3 times. So you could say he's reached the height of his sporting career, right? He's achieved it all. Boy, he must have a good life. Someone asked him in an interview, what is your favorite championship? What's your favorite achievement? And you know what he said? The next one. Because it's never enough. Because no matter how much you achieve or how good it is, there will always be a storm that comes. And whether that storm comes in the form of retirement, hey, it can't go on forever, or whether it's something else. Jesus tells us that if we base our whole lives on anything but the rock, on anything but Jesus' words, it will crumble. The foundations will crumble. But hey, that's a big claim, right? Jesus saying he is the only firm foundation. You might be sitting there thinking, why should I listen to him? Here's what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He's saying, I am the only solid foundation. Or if we look at our verses in verses 13 and 14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I am the way to life. There is one way, and everything else leads to destruction. Bit egotistical? Bit intense for Sports Plus? Surely not. Surely not. I can live my best life. You do you. I'll do me. I'm happy for you. You believe what you want to believe. But I just want to do what makes me happy. And that's like the world's conditions on life, isn't it, when we think about it? Hands up if you're a Swiftie. Taylor Swift fan? Any Taylor Swift fans? Yes. Lots of Taylor Swift fans. Well, she was recently giving advice to graduates at New York University in a speech, and she was kind of helping them to think about, okay, now you've graduated, you go into the big wide world, what are you going to do? And here we're going to see a quote from her, see what her advice is. She says, I know it can be really overwhelming figuring out who to be and when, who you are now, and how to act in order to get to where you want to go. I have some good news. It's totally up to you. I also have some terrifying news. It is totally up to you. And isn't that sort of true? We think it sounds so liberating that we can do what we want. There is no wrong. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here about the broad road. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Do you see why it's broad? It encompasses everything. There is no wrong. It's really easy. It's easy to get in. It's easy to follow in some ways. It can seem really attractive to do that and to go with everyone else. These things that look attractive on the surface. And it's a little bit like we're talking about building on the sand. And I don't know if you've ever seen those sandcastles when you go on holiday, if you've ever been away. And there are people who spend sort of hours building these amazing sandcastles on the beach. And they look spectacular. And hey, that's much easier to build than a castle made of rock, right? You can make it look much more impressive way more quickly. If you want to change it, you can change it really easily. You just knock it over and you start again. It's not difficult and it looks great. But you wouldn't want to live in one of these, would you? As soon as the first wave comes, it's going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. Because as good as it looks and as attractive as it looks at first, it's not designed to be lived in. See, Jesus is really, really clear in these verses. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. When he speaks about the wise builders. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He says there's one way. Do you see why the gate is so narrow? The only way to life is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling you. We said at the start, there's a warning. There's your warning. Don't get sucked in by these empty promises, by these fleeting pleasures on the broad path that look so good at first, but that don't deliver on the end. Jesus says, listen to my words, follow me, and I will lead you to life. And what does that life look like, following Jesus as King? Well, Jesus offers security. Jesus is the constant King who never changes and never leaves you. I wonder if you felt lonely at all over these last couple of years during COVID. Ever felt left out? Have you ever walked into a changing room after a match and the whole team kind of stops talking and looks at you and you realize they've been speaking about you? I was chatting to some of the trainees earlier and they were saying one of the challenges about being a Christian in their sports club or team is that sometimes it can feel quite isolating, that there's this fear of rejection, there's this fear of being different. Jesus says, I will never leave you. He's destroyed death. He's never going anywhere. Jesus offers security. Jesus offers identity. Do you seek your affirmation from your friends? Have you ever scrolled through your social media feed for hours just to feel really lonely afterwards? Have you ever been dropped from the squad? Well, we heard Cal last night, didn't we? Jesus died for you because he loves you, and then he rose again. Not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything that you've achieved, not because you're amazing at your sport or anything else, but because he loves you. Jesus offers identity. Jesus offers security. Jesus offers identity. Jesus offers you life now and forevermore. I wonder if you've ever scrolled through your social media, Instagram, and you've worried that maybe you're not living your best life now, that maybe those other people out there look like they're having a way better time. Maybe you've been left out by friends, by teammates. Jesus defeated death. Jesus says death is not the end, so we can have joy and we can have security now. He says one day there will be no more storms, there will be no more illness, there will be no more injury or death or isolation. Jesus offers life. And that is what the narrow path looks like. But hey, it's also narrow for a reason. It's narrow on the broad way. And you might know if you're a Christian sport just now that it's not always easy. We were chatting about some of those challenges with the trainees earlier. And as good as that life is, security, identity, life and joy, he might call you to make some sacrifices. Maybe to say no to that cruel and harsh banter that gets you a really quick laugh with your mates. Maybe to hang out with the people that actually you don't find it so easy to hang out with. Maybe to say no to the sports culture and the socials, whatever that looks like. There might be sacrifices, but I urge you tonight, when you leave this meeting, please go and ask your team leaders, ask them about anything that they've had to give up, anything that they have sacrificed to follow King Jesus, and ask them why it was worth it. Ask them why it was worth it to choose the narrow path. So just 2 minutes, stay with me 2 minutes more. Take one more look at verse 24 on page 16, right at the top. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Hey, this calling is for everyone, every single person in this room tonight. Whether this is your first time at Sports Plus and you've never been to church and you've never opened the Bible, there's no entry requirement. Jesus says life is for everyone. But maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, I thought I did follow the narrow path, but you know, it was really tough. And I was tempted onto the broad way by all those things that looked so good on the surface, by those fleeting pleasures. Hey, tonight Jesus is calling you back to the narrow path to find life in him. And for those of you who follow Jesus and you're saying, yeah, I know it is tough, but how good it is to follow King Jesus. You know what he says? He calls you to listen and obey his words. He calls you to really radical obedience, to not just choose some and not the others, because that's the way he's designed you, and so he must know what's best for you. 35,000 decisions in a day. One decision that I urge you tonight to take some time to think about that will change your life now and forever. Will you choose to follow the King? I'm just going to pray for us now as we finish. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you invite everyone who hears to come and to listen and to find life in King Jesus. And help us to do that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now guys, like every night, we're going to do this reflection and then we'll sing two songs.